This morning, we're going to talk about how faith that moves you to action. It is possible to believe, but not do anything. Just believe. Have the idea that for some reason, God's going to fix me somehow, somewhat. Now, we have to balance that carefully because sometimes, yes, we are saved by grace, but there's our role that we have to embrace and allow God to walk in us. Does that make sense? And so if we believe and have faith, and so we may read the Bible and believe that, but do nothing about it. In some cases, you just need to pray. That's part of what you're going to do, just pray and wait on God. In some cases, you need to get out and do something. Yes, you pray you're going to get a new job, then get out and go look for one. You follow that? In some cases, you aren't trying to pass an exam. Yes, you're going to pray, but do the due diligence of getting in the scripture, in your study books, and making sure that you know what needs to be done. Amen? So it's not just about, I have faith, but what are you going to do about it? Too many Christians believe and end there. James 2 verse 20 says, how foolish can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? That's foolish. To believe about something and do nothing? It's not of God. If it's a sin you're trying to change, you got to say, well, I believe that this sin is wrong. I'm going to confess and work on changing that sin. If you believe that I need to do great with my spouse, I'm going to talk about it and begin getting help to make that change. If you believe that people need to know God, then you got to pray about it, and God will send you to those people, then you can walk and talk to them and show them God. Amen? So we cannot say we believe in God and yet do nothing. That is not what the Bible talks about. It talks about faith that's foolish. In other words, you're doing something that will not help you. That you're doing something that you know will not bring about the godly fruit that we're looking for. Point number one, innovate in difficult circumstances. We all have circumstances in our lives. Difficult because they challenge you. They put you in a place where you find very hard to come out. How do I manage the circumstances I found myself in? What do? The Bible says here, and about this story we all know very well, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. The circumstance of Zacchaeus was that he was a short guy. Given to him by a DNA situation. And Jesus comes in town, and he wants to see Jesus, but the circumstance that is so ingrained by virtue of his body, he can't see. He has a choice to give in to that circumstance. Says, I'm way too short. I don't have to try. Why should I try? They're going to make fun of me. I'm not like Trevor there, who's a tall guy. There are many reasons he could have given himself, said, I don't want to try. He was a rich guy. That can be a trapping. A trapping of, well, I'm wealthy. How will it look like? How will people see me in terms of respect, and how will the people think, and all that stuff begins to play. All in his brain would have happened. That was the circumstance he had. A short man, as Jesus walked through. That even as today, this morning, as Christ speaks to us, whether through scripture, through people, through the word of God in your private times, you have circumstances that get in the way. So what do you do about that circumstance? So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree beside the road. For Jesus was going past that way. You see, he became innovative. He said, hold on, I can run ahead of Jesus. I'll get over the sycamore tree and climb on that because he's coming this way. That he innovated. Nobody had ever done that before. Jesus had not been on that road before. So he figured, I'll innovate. The reason we're held captive in our faith that we do nothing is because we wait for someone who's done it before. But faith must take us to a place where we've not been before. It's about growth. It's not about repeating the same thing and telling yourself you're growing. It's going to a new place. And that's what he did. He ran and climbed a tree. Even though he was wealthy, even though this was the first time it was happening, he ran ahead and was innovative. When is the last time you innovated with your circumstance? Or have you become one of those people that use your circumstance as a reason to stay in the same place and actually rationalize why we are who we are? That leads us to bitterness, resentment, anger, and all kind of stuff that comes with that disease of sin. And you wonder why I've been a Christian 20, 50, 60 years and I'm not joyful. Because you refuse to let the Word of God work in you so that you can innovate and see what you need to do. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I don't know why he said quick, but he said, quick, come down. I thought about it. I said, what was the significance of the word quick? I don't know, but he said it. Come down. I guess if you're going to innovate, get busy with it. Stop giving stories. Get busy with being innovative. Come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. The word quick tells me that we cannot procrastinate. That we've got to grasp the moment. The time when we know when the Spirit nudges us to do something. We cannot get in the business of discussing in ourselves. That is what takes us back into the constant place, to the constant place. We've got to step out and say, hold on. Well, here's what I see God saying I got to do. I need to do it. Today you live here and you have ideas to be connected to God, to touch something, to change something in your life. When you start that conversation, you're going backwards. But if you respond to what the Spirit has said to you, then you are beginning to make that change. It may be in your life. It may be helping someone to know God. It may be just simple things, but it's all about growth. And so that's what he did quickly. He came down and followed Jesus with excitement. He says, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Something happens when you're growing spiritually. You're joyful. You're excited. You want to get involved. But when we lose energy, we get very sad about just the idea of being alive. And then you go through life very sad. And you think that you can be happy because you bought a new something, a new that. And that only lasts you a short time. Or if you got a new relationship, that will get you happy. But that does not solve the hole in your heart that only God can feel. And that's what you got to understand. If you want real joy, get to know God. But do it quickly. Don't procrastinate. Secondly, choose to repent over grumbling. Luke 19:7-9. But the people were displeased. He has gone to the guest to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. The backstory is that as a tax collector, you could be rich anyway, but they overcollected because they made money out of they had like a commission going. So people didn't like them for that. Does that make sense? That's the backstory. So he was wealthy, and he was not liked in community as a rich guy. So that was what's going on. And they were grumbling. This was the Pharisees and all the people around there. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated people on the taxes, which he had done, that's why he's talking about it, I will give them back four times as much. That's why he brought it up. It was irrelevant if he had not done it, right? He brought it up because he knew he had done it. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abram. Now, question. The other guys who are complaining, why is Jesus going to sit with this notorious sinner? In other words, we can sit down and judge everyone else. And never look at ourselves. We judge our children. We judge our spouses. We judge our friends at work.
We judge the street, we judge the weather, we judge the light, but never look at the man in the mirror. We hear the word, we walk away, and forget what we heard. James talks about the man that looks into the mirror and walks away and never sees it. And we wonder what happened. What happened is we chose grumbling over repentance. So how did that happen? It happened when you didn't say, what do I need to do today to be different? What is God calling me to do different today? We stop hearing the Spirit of God. And that is what he's talking about. So you've got to choose today to repent and not to grumble. As I speak, you may say, well, you don't understand my situation. Granted, I don't, but he does. I'm a human. I cannot fathom what you're going through, but God does. And God calls you to repent over grumbling. We grumble in our hearts, we grumble in our mindset, we grumble in our attitude, and we just grumble and not just repent. And we get stuck for years. Why? Because we chose the grumbling spirit. All we do is talk this, talk that. We have a comeback to everything. We don't just submit to God. We don't have to say, God, you said we're coming along. It is a question you must ask yourself this morning and choose repentance over grumbling. Seek out the lost, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek those who are lost. You know, when I think of my conversion story, I had been searching for God and gone to so many churches, but I was feeling I wasn't finding the real deal. The day God reached out to me, a brother was showing someone else about how to reach out, and that's how I got to go to church. And I was a stranger in the street and say, hi, how are you? Would you like to go to church? I say, where? Upstairs. What time? Now. I say, okay. Why did I go? I was just tired. I needed a place to sit down. But the Lord was walking out. We give ourselves excuses as to why we cannot tell people about God. Maybe it's not the right time. Someone just reached out to me from the street. We can do that anywhere, any place. It's on the go. It's not a campaign. But you've got to hear the Spirit. You've got to hear the Spirit. When the Spirit nudges you to talk to people about God, do it. We say, oh, I'm not sure I can teach them anything. Well, tell them about God, and there are people here that want to show them. I'm one of those people. I can show them the scriptures, and there are many other people that want to do that. I don't know how to turn from this scripture to that scripture. Just tell them, I know the Bible, but I will take some time to turn things around. It's not about your perfection. It's about God. Well, I'm just feeling I'm not the best person. You've never been the best person. God uses the broken people. You've never been. That's an illusion you tell yourself. I've never been the best guy. Just God uses the guy that is, okay, I got to walk with this one. It's a humble place to be, but a place of faith that God can walk with you. Faithfulness grows you. Faithfulness grows you. You see, faithfulness is very much associated with the fact that things might not be going great, but I'm still faithful. I'm walking on it. If you ask all the mature and older people here, they will tell you that they've been married whatever years and they've walked at it. It's a faithfulness issue. You follow that? It was not perfect, but they walked at it and they're good friends and they're great friends and they walk through things. They will tell you that. So in the same way, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to learn faithfulness with God. It's not that you become a Christian and all your problems go away. Or you've been a Christian a long time and all of a sudden you should be perfect. It's never going to be. There's a growth process that you must engage in. Hearing the Word of God, hearing Him speak and getting connected to that. Relationships with people and with one another. So here it reads, the first servant reported, Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount. Well done, the king exclaimed. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with little. I entrusted you, so you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward. This is a parable being given out, but it was a story that happened to one of Herod's sons. If you follow that story in other books, you see that it actually happened. And he talks about that the first servant was given money, and he made it 10 times the original amount. Was there a formula? Nope. You had to be thoughtful. There were risks taken, right? But the thing you see here is that he was faithful. Because you cannot take any risk if you don't have faith. You will not take it. The risk to talk to someone that you don't know. The risk to love somebody. The risk to correct someone. The risk to love. You will not do it. The Bible says he invested. And then verse 17, well done, the king exclaimed, and you are a good servant. Do you realize that your life has been given to you by God? Your talent has been given to you by God. And that at one point you have to give account what you've done with your life. Are you multiplying it? Are you allowing God to walk through you as a conduit to bless other people? Whether it's the lost souls, whether it's people that just need care, whether the people that just need to be shown love, to discuss, to invite people into your home, all that. Are you faithful? It's very easy to whittle down the challenges of life and just trying to live a simple life of going to church, work, home. Church, work, home. And never want to sacrifice, pull yourself a little bit up. And we are busy. But that's a boring life. We got to be faithful with what God has given us. Talents, abilities. We got to be faithful and step outside of our comfort zone. Because that's what they did to make that grow. They stepped out of their comfort zone. It was comfortable to just hold it. But they stepped out and made it work and made it grow. You have to begin to challenge yourself in a faithful way. Amen? Amen? And when you do that, you grow. That's what happened there. It grew. The principle is that the money grew. When you put yourself out like that, you grow. So I want to challenge you to grow spiritually. To grow by touching other neighbors, other people around you. To grow by helping others to know God or helping them in other ways. Does that make sense? Either way, you're going to grow. You cannot do this without growth. But that is a question of faithfulness, and that means you're connected to God. You cannot do it without God. So again, in my proverbial way, I ask you, are you reading your Bible in the mornings? Are you praying? You got to go back there to start to come to this place. The next servant reported, Master, I invested your money and I made 5 times the original amount. Well done. The king said you'll be governor of over 5 cities. Essentially, the way it works is that you have something little that you work with and God blesses it some more. But the way we think is that I want to get a lot without ever working to get there. And somehow I want to be comfortable without ever trying. How does that work? It does not work like that. You got to be faithful and give yourself to God. As you do, you see things that need to change and you become different. You know, one of the things that is so challenging is the internal growth. To investigate self and come to a place of, I need to grow. We are afraid of letting the illusion to die of we are perfect inside. We are not. We need to grow. It's a fact of life. If you look at yourself keenly, you will notice that there are things you need to do better. Amen. Don't be afraid. It is you and God. It is you in the mirror. Why are you afraid? Why do we fear so much what gives us freedom? The fact that you connect to God and He reveals things about you, the ugly stuff. Yeah, ugly according to you, but to God, you should not be saying it's ugly. If you just found out that you did something wrong, you should not be angry. You should be saying, praise God, I finally saw how this was holding me back. We are inverted in the way we look at life. We judge, we put ourselves down. So we don't want to look at it from a position of God is just helping me grow some more. And because of that way of looking at life, we don't want to try. And here's where this guy goes. Fear kills our growth. Look at his story. But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, Master, I hid your money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with. Is that right? God is a hard man to deal with? I don't think so. Taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant. Let's talk about this for a while. This is the thought. There were same environment, same circumstance, right? Same person. He says, here's the original amount you gave me. Would you want to leave this universe when your day of living comes? Would you want to leave just without ever trying? I mean, think about it. I'm not scaring you, but let's talk about it. That's a given. That's one constant. We're all going to go. What do you want? How do you feel when that day comes? What do you want people to say about you? But forget what people say about you. How do you feel? Are you ready? Do you feel you've lived out your life with purpose and direction? Or have you settled to the quagmire of group and how everybody else goes along and not why did God bring me on earth? You'll find it if you seek, if you ask and knock, you'll find it. Here he talks about it. He was afraid. That was the answer. I was afraid. You cannot have faith and fear exist in the same place. It's the opposite of the other. And fear has a way of holding you down, and then you rationalize why you've come to that place. I was afraid because you are a hard man. He's rationalizing you're a hard man. It's all pointing out to deal with. Well, he got to work on his character to deal with that hard man, I guess. Right? Then the Bible says, taking what isn't yours, harvesting crops you didn't plant. He wasn't seeing his role. He inverted the whole story to, you're trying to take advantage of me. And I believe the devil tells us that story a lot. God wants you to do great, to do awesome, to blossom, and the devil tells you, oh, you're going to just suffer, or you're going to get used, you're going to struggle. No, that is the devil's story. God wants you to have faith. You cannot develop faith by just hearing every Sunday. You got to get in the Bible on a daily basis. Amen? And as you do that, get in prayer and hear God speak and act. And act on what God is saying. God bless you.